Welcome back to the Jolynn Thomas Show and Happy New Year. We are revisiting a news story that dominated the news cycle back in 2015. I felt like today was a great day to give some attention to this case. And here to help me do that is Kellyanne Pearson. She is an advocate for Baby Dior, and she is on the phone with me. She has been sticking on the phone to get us up to speed. She's calling in from Seattle. Kellyanne Pearson, I really appreciate you giving us some of this insight. Through that break, I just felt like I have a much better understanding now of who little Dior was, and to be able to imagine him playing with his toys and to know a little bit about what he loved, I think it just makes the tragedy that much more real. And while that's heartbreaking, my hope is that that is going to give people the motivation to continue speaking up and learning more about this case.
Right. I agree. I think Dior should not be necessarily remembered as missing, but as who he is.
Right.
What? Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I'm really glad that you asked me that, because again, like you said, there's not a lot of places out there that bring that into the light. It's always about him missing, updates and stuff like that. It's never about who Dior really was. So I'm really glad that you asked that question.
Well, I am so glad that you could share that, because I think that you're so right. A lot of times when we're talking about victims, it just becomes all about that crime involving their disappearance or their death. And I really believe that part of justice is making sure that people know who they were.
Exactly. I agree.
So, Kellyanne, I am excited to watch the tribute video that you put together for Dior for his birthday, which just happened on December 30th. I honestly cannot believe he is 11 years old. Wow. His 11th right. birthday. So remind everyone where they can see that video.
Of course. So justiceforbabydior.com is his website. You can see the tribute on the main page along with all the facts in his case. I would suggest that if you were to be interested in learning more about it, feel free to join, you know, looking at all the stuff that's in there. It's definitely worth a look. You got timelines, you got all the news articles, you've got some facts with screenshots and statements, and you know, you just name it, it's in there. So you do not have to go to Facebook and scroll for 8 years worth of stuff, because I update it all the time. So I would definitely go to justiceforbabydior.com and take a peek at his birthday tribute and get a feel for who he was.
And Kellyanne, what a valuable resource that is for people to be able to go to one spot, be able to get the timeline, be able to get updates, be able to learn what's currently being done. That is going to save people a lot of time. It's all in one stop, and that, I have got to believe, is helping in the investigation. Kelly, I want to ask you this. So we are all pretty familiar with that original story. He was on this camping trip. That's where the disappearance happened. It was while they were visiting Timber Creek. He was just 2 years old. There were a lot of theories that started coming out, because searching just did not yield anything. Searchers right. continued coming up empty-handed. And I remember back in 2015 thinking, how is this possible? It's almost as if he disappeared into thin air, just vanished without a trace. And it was really something that I think had people on the edge of their seat. So there is the original story, but as you have been doing this advocating, pieces have come over the years, and those pieces are showcasing the fact that the original story isn't necessarily the whole story.
Right. So the original story is that parents thought grandpa had him, and then the grandpa thought that he was with the parents. So, you know, you got mom and dad and Isaac going down to the creek after they've come back from the stage stop. And, you know, and then all of a sudden when Fernal wants to come back, which is the dad, wants to come back to see, you know, if baby Dior wants to go down to the creek with them to see these little minnows or whatever, he's not there. And that's when the search supposedly began, and they all kind of panicked. Well, the actual facts have actually been there the whole entire time. And you know, the more I have dug into it, the more, you know, the investigators and law enforcement, that their theories actually kind of made more sense to me. And of course, you know, we all should be listening to them anyways. But so the real story is that when they got back from the stage stop, they all sat down around the fire for a minute, and they were talking about fishing and stuff. And Isaac and Grandpa supposedly had caught some fish, probably small ones, and they had them in a bag and a cooler. And Vernal was like, no way you guys caught that out of the creek. Show me. And so then, of course, Grandpa's like, Isaac, go show them where the fishing spot was that we caught these fish. And so Isaac shows mom and dad down to the creek, and from that point on, Dior goes missing under Grandpa's care. So that's not the case. So Isaac and Jessica went down to the creek, and Vernal and Dior were actually following them as if the original story was about to happen. But at the very last minute, Vernal decided he's not going to go down to the creek because he does not like fishing. He hates fishing. There's audio of him even saying that. And so he decided he wants to work on his truck, and he keeps baby Dior with him. So not only, you know, did Vernal not go down to the creek, Grandpa is not in charge of Dior. Grandpa, according to Isaac, in a behind the scenes, which has come out since, has stated that Grandpa was in his camper sleeping. And so, you know, it's believed that there was an accident while Grandpa was sleeping and everybody else was at the creek while Vernal was working on his truck. So that's the new story, is that something happened while the dad had Dior, and most likely with the truck, because there was blood evidence found in the wheel well of the truck later within that week. That scared Vernal so much that he not only washed down his truck with bleach, but he gave back his truck to his friend, only having it for a week, gave it back to his friend, and his friend went and scrapped it for metal. All happened within 10 days. FBI did get to it. They did swab some stuff. They can't get a single DNA from it due to the bleaching, but they can tell you that it is blood. The rest of that information is within the FBI. So the original story is no longer the case where Dior was, who knows who's watching Dior. Dad was watching Dior the whole time. So we have that. And that, you know, with these like little things that pop up like this, or just the facts that, you know, put together, and it's not just me putting this together. This is Klein and a whole bunch of other people, including law enforcement, have put this together. That Vernal was the last person to see Dior. And when an accident most likely happened, it would make sense because Vernal was actually went down the road three times to look for Dior, once before 911, one during 911, and one after 911. We believe that he was taking this opportunity to put Dior in a cooler and rush him out of the campground and possibly bury him in the cooler, just enough for, you know, people not to see him. And then it most likely moved later, at that point, moved later to a permanent spot. So we have a holding spot that's been picked up by cadaver dogs down by where Vernal called 911. He not only called 911, he called his dad to tell his dad what was going on. But he quickly claims that he didn't really call his dad. And then later in an interview with the third PI, Marshburn, Jessica was actually being interviewed live, and he asked this question. So when what was Bernal doing when he went out of the campground? She said he went to go call 911, and I know that he talked to his dad. So it's like, well, why is he lying about talking to his dad? Why is he going down there so many times? He doesn't need to go down there. He's hauling down there. He's looking for a two-year-old that's wobbly in oversized boots. You're obviously not looking for a child when you're hauling down the road. His excuse was to get 911, but we've already, you know, he made it a call to 911. Why is he still going down the road before and after? So it's really kind of focusing on Bernal right now, with Jessica knowing, and I can't come out straight and say they're suspects. I can say that they've been listed as suspects at one point, and they have been lowered to persons of interest with the current sheriff.
And what steps are being taken right now to move things forward?
Well, we have been able to rehire Klein back on the case, who was sued off of the case at one point for, I swear, it was like 2-3 years that he was going through some lawsuits on the case. He ultimately won all three of them. And now that the lawsuit is literally dropped, everybody's signed papers saying that they're going to leave each other alone. Klein wanted to come back to the case. And of course, we all wanted him. So he's back on. He's got some movement going on in the background. He's got some searches planned. This year we've had to wait for some, you know, other agencies to help do their part to move forward. But all I can really say is that there's definitely movement going on. It's wintertime, so there's going to be a little bit of a pause as far as searching Idaho's under snow. But I'm sure that there are still doing other things that don't require searching in the background. Last year, I think Klein came back last year. He spent that whole entire summer with his team going through all of the files and relearning the case just in case they missed anything. And on top of that, they went through the case to see if anything new popped up. And according to them, a few things caught their attention that they would like to relook into. So there's searching, there's just a lot of movement going on in the background, and I'm really excited to be able to report that. I'm just not able to go into details, unfortunately, because Klein, the last time he was on, it was a lot of drama, and Klein's really about Dior. He's not about the drama, and he just wants to work, is basically what he's doing this year. he just wants to work, keep everything quiet.
And I'm sure that everyone, the common goal is to find baby Dior and to be able to bring some closure to this heartbreaking tragedy and to give baby Dior a final resting place and the chance for a memorial. One thing that's kind of clear as you have been talking is it appears that Dior really was loved. Dearly loved by his family. So I don't think there's any question about that. Everything I have seen and chatting with you, it really indicates that he was very loved.
He was very loved. I mean, I really believe his parents, obviously, I believe his parents loved him so much. In my opinion, an accident happened and they made a quick decision to cover it up. There's only two things that you can do, report and cover it up. So I think they just took that option and I think they just got themselves too deep. And that's my personal opinion. There's no facts to prove that. And that opinion shared by a lot. I actually really feel bad for the parents. I do. I feel sad for them because they're missing their baby. And whether they chose to cover it up or not and broke the law or whatever, they're still missing their son.
Oh, you know? No question.
So I do grieve with them. It took a couple of years to be able to get on that level of understanding the parents and not just worry about Dior. But no, he was totally loved. His whole family loved him.
And, you know, yeah, what a heartbreaking tragedy. And particularly, you know, as the holidays roll around, that absence is felt as his birthday comes. And like you said, not a day goes by that he is not thought about and remembered. Kelly Ann Pearson, thank you for this incredible update and for the devotion that you're putting forward on this case and the work you're doing to help bring some justice for baby Dior.
Gosh, I appreciate your time and letting me do this.
Absolutely. And one more time, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and remind everyone where they can find Dior's website that you've created.
Absolutely. It's justiceforbabydior.com. And you can find all the facts in there. You can find everything, timelines, links to the news articles, all the facts in there. Don't go to Facebook looking for them. You'll be on an 8-year scroll.
Right.
It's updated every day, but yeah, there's a beautiful tribute for him for his birthday. I would love for anybody and everybody to see that. Just take a minute and remember Dior for, you know, who he was, whether you knew him or not, and continue the hope that he will be found soon.
Absolutely. And, you know, this case, I think, it's such a reminder of how important it is to just hold on to the ones that we love. This is a case that reminds us what matters most. And at the start of a new year, I am hopeful that there will be some positive forward movement.
Me too.
Kellyanne Pearson, advocate for Baby Dior Coons, thanks for chatting with me on the phone today.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right.